Father, we ask right now, Lord, that your word come alive, that as we preach right now, Father, this message on evangelism, as we enter deeper into our walk in evangelism, Lord, that you put it in us, as it says in Matthew 28, Lord, to go and preach the gospel into Jerusalem and to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triunity of God. And Lord, you said you would be with us always, even unto the end of the age. Father, we're to make disciples. That means that we not only have to preach the word of God to see people come into the kingdom, but also to become those who follow your word. Follow Jesus. Don't hear about Jesus. Follow him. Do you hear me? Don't just listen to the word. Obey and walk the word. Because it works, as Bert Midget would say. The word works. So work the word. Amen. Lord, just bless this time we have together here now in the Word. So anyway, it wasn't last week because last week we were ministering, and so we never got to the sermon. So a few weeks ago we said that you personally represent the gospel message by both preaching it. You know, you have a testimony every day you walk into Ingalls, anytime you walk down to the gas station, anytime you go anywhere, the library, school, wherever you go. If you call yourself a Christian, you're preaching the Word of God just by whether you smile or not. Just by whether you say hello or not. Just by whether you've got a good word or a negative word. Listen, you're preaching the gospel everywhere you go. Little eyes, that song where little eyes are on you at all times. If you have children, they're watching every word and every move you make. You are a living epistle, as I just read from Smith Wigglesworth. You're a living epistle. That means you're a written book. You're a walking, talking attitude, character, and nature of God in this world. And I pray to God that your witness, your testimony, it's the word of what? The word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Actually, it's the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that makes it happen, folks, for us to be in heaven and for others to get to heaven. It's our testimony. We have a testimony written all over our face, our hands, our feet, yes, in our heart, our mouth. Our actions, it's all God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You're representing the Godhead. How you doing? That's what the church is for. If you're not doing too well, let's hold each other accountable to it. Let's point it out. Let's sharpen as iron sharpens iron. Let men sharpen other men. Women sharpen other women. Let's get this Bible under our belt, if you will. That because why? The belt is the belt of truth. And when truth hits, freedom hits. And when freedom hits, then the power hits. When the power hits, God's exhibited. When God's exhibited, people come to Christ. Jesus modeled it throughout his entire life. He walked the talk. He healed on his way. He delivered on his way. As he's preaching and teaching, he's healing and delivering and healing and delivering. The church is in likeness of Jesus. We're supposed to be doing the same thing. We must be empowered. But it was his 100%, God said, yieldedness is why Jesus had all the gifts and could do all he did. Because he was 100% and totally obedient and yielded. So if it's not happening in the church today and the church is in that little somber state, it's probably because we're either not yielded or not obedient. Because I'll tell you right now, God hadn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He honors his word. The promises are yes and amen. And so don't you be blaming God for the things that you're not doing. I know that's a hard word, but it's what the church needs today. If we want to see the anointing, which is the Holy Spirit who lives in you, go from you and out from you. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means with reverence. Work it out. It's in you. Work it out. Let it come out in everything that you do, in everything that you say, in everything that you perform, whatever it is that your life is about, in your prayer time, in your worship time, in your Bible reading time, in your fellowship time, in your work time, when you're witnessing to unbelievers, no matter where you are, Jesus should exude from you because this life is so short and so temporary that if it doesn't exude from you now, don't wait till you get to heaven. You won't need it. The anointing that lives in you is needed now. For now, healing isn't going to be needed in heaven. Healing is needed now. Deliverance doesn't need to be done in heaven. It's all done. It's here. And what he's saying is, I did it here. I left it here. I planted the kingdom of God here in my seed, which was raised to the Father. I'm now there. I'm commissioning you all now to be the kingdom of God here. Do what I did. Do greater things than I've done. But yet we see the church incapacitated. Oh, we can preach a message. Oh, we can go on a mission field. Oh, we can serve in a soup line. And we can do all those kinds of things. But where's the power? Where's the healing and deliverance on a regular basis like Jesus did? We've got to yield. We've got to clean the fish. It's not enough just to catch the fish. I was reading the other day, an evangelist was saying something like, oh, you know what? Evangelists love to catch fish, but they don't like to clean them. That's the job of the apostle and the teacher and the you know, right, pastor, the other fivefold ministry parts. Evangelist goes out, gets them, throws them in the boat. We're the boat, and we need to clean them up. That means you have to be washed. And what do we get washed with? The Word. And the Word's not just with me, it's with you. The Word's in you. It abides in you. And therefore, meditate on it, focus on it, study it, so that anytime you're coming across a situation, you'll know what you need to say. Jesus said, I'll give you what you need to say. If you're in tune with Him. If you're not in tune with Him, then it's going to be a problem. Amen? So, you represent the gospel by preaching and living. Preaching and living it. And I think living it's more important than preaching it. Because sometimes, you know, we get tangled with our words, and sometimes we say things that we really don't mean and all these other kind of things. But Lord, we're walking around every single day living the Word of God, and there's 24/7 you're being a testimony. How, well, I sleep 8 hours. How could it be 24/7? Because you have a thought life in your dreams. And if they're horrible, start praying that the nightmares leave in Jesus' name. And I'll do that in Jesus' name. I pray any nightmares people have, leave and go now in Jesus' name. And that dreams, which God calls for, and visions will come to God's children. And those dreams and visions will have interpretation. And it will benefit or encourage or uplift our lives so that we'll go out and we'll be able to be a better testimony to the world that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord and Savior, Savior and Lord, living it and preaching it. Amen? Therefore, if you preach it and live in it, be led by the Holy Spirit. Because if you do the leading and you stay in your intellect and you just simply go by what's in your brain, you will fail. You got to drop 18 inches down into your heart. You got to get in touch with the Holy Spirit and say, Father, what do you want me to do? Isn't that what Jesus did? Father, what you will in this? Father, Father, he went up in the hill to pray. Father, Father, when he said, told us to pray, how did he say? Our Father who art in heaven. We don't pray to Jesus, we pray to our Father who art in heaven through the means and the intercession of Jesus by the power of Holy Spirit. So we need to be about being in touch with and being led by Holy Spirit, for he desires to lead you in evangelism. You can't evangelize without the power of the Holy Spirit behind you. If all it is words, you'll get maybe a few people saved. But you notice that when Jesus started healing people, the multitudes came. And it's the same for us. If there's no signs and wonders following his word, if there's no healing and deliverance following the word, people are going to go, well, why should I believe that over this religion over here? The characteristic of Christianity is we have Holy Spirit. We have the anointing. We have the power. We have the authority to do what Jesus did. And that's what gets people stirred up and moved to move their heart to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. If all we do is preach from the pulpit all the time, I mean, there's plenty of other religions that preach from the pulpit. But of course, the power of the words that we preach alone by itself without any help from you is enough to also bring people to Christ. So what I'm saying to you is, yes, the word itself will lead people to Christ simply by reading it and to their life. But God would have just left the Bible on the earth and raptured us if he didn't want to use us. Right? Think about it. He would have just left the written word on stone tablets, you know, maybe tacked up in the middle of the sky, and everybody could read it. But he left Christians here after we accept him so that we could be an example of what's written. Jesus says to the devil, it is written. It is written. When he wanted to ward off the devil, he said, it is written. You got to know what's written, because then he quoted it. And so you too should probably be memorizing some scriptures. Ones that are pertinent for you to be able to evangelize. In other words, lead your loved ones that you're so dead. If all you're doing is desperately praying for your loved ones at the altar to get saved and hoping that somebody's going to witness to them, that somewhere the word's going to get out to him and stuff like that. Why take that chance? Why not you be that vessel? Live it and speak it. And the power of his word coming through you and the power of the anointing that lives in you can be the greatest asset you have to get our loved ones saved if you're, you know, around them. Well, you can't catch the fish if you're not fishing in the pond. You got to put yourself where the fish are. And you got to use the right bait. Well, what do you mean the right bait? How about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? That'll attract people. Bitterness, anger, envy, jealousy. That'll push the fish away. Think about it. You got everything that you need to evangelize, and we're going to expound on that in the weeks to come, of how we do that and what we need to appropriate and what we really need to do. But I'm just trying to rile you up to let you know that it's a Hillsong saying this. You have all the power you need. It's activating it. You have all the power you need. It's just simply yielding and activating it. And when you do that, your life will never be the same. Never be the same. And if you get too excited and pride comes in, there's enough of us in here to take you down a peg. Because let me tell you something, that's what knocks a lot of these people down that are evangelizing today. Because when the power begins to be activated and they're laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, and you know, right, and the people that are being delivered, all of a sudden it's like, wow, you know, hey, you know, God's really moving through me. Don't ever say that. He is moving through you. But always acknowledge that it's Him that's doing the work, and without Him, you're nothing. He abides in you, and you're abiding in Him. But apart from Him, John 15:5, I can do absolutely nothing. Absolutely. So, be led by the Spirit in evangelism. Don't go out in your own intellect. I mean, yes, you know, you're going to get tracts and you're going to read the tracts and stuff like that, but just let the Spirit move you in it. It may take you a little bit off track, no pun intended. Off track, where your heart's into it and you're just telling them, this is what Christ has done in my life. This is where I was, this is where I am, and this is what can be. That's really all it is. This is who I was. Now, after accepting Christ, this is who I am. And this is what I have to look forward to. Do you want that? And when you say, do you want that, you better be exhibiting it. Because if they look at you and go, no, I don't want any part of that. That's where you come in with your countenance and your actions. Do you understand how this works? It's not just being studious. It's exemplifying and living the living word. Knowledge just puffeth you up. It's wisdom and application of that knowledge that works in your life to make things happen. So if we listen to the Spirit, we can know when. Listen now. If you're listening to the Spirit, you can know when, where, how, and with whom you're going to witness to. Well, who am I going to witness to? And I know who I want to witness to. And sometimes God, like He did with Jesus, you know, He's heading here and He gets interrupted and the Holy Spirit moved Him over here. Well, I'm going to go witness to my daughter or my son and here I go and stuff. And, you know, wait a minute. Lord, what are you doing? What do you mean, go over here? On the way, there needs to be somebody who just hears what you have to say. You'll get to where you're going. But listen to those interruptions in life, because a lot of times God's going to minister more in your interruptions than He is with your intentions. Because that means that's really Him that's speaking to you, not what you've said as an agenda. He'll tell you when, where, how, and with whom you need to speak to. How then can we hear the voice of God, Pastor? Well, the first step is to ask God for wisdom, because He wants to give it. James 1:5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, now we're not talking about the wisdom of the world and how many degrees you have on your wall from men. We're talking about God's wisdom, which can come through men. Let him ask of God, though, who gives to all. What? He gives to all who ask, right? Let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach. He's not sorry. He wants to give it to you. That's the first thing you have to understand. If you want greater wisdom, the ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, with your innermost being, cry out and say, God, I want it. and just ask. And he says he'll give it to you generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. James is not lying. James got this straight from God, Holy Spirit. Folks, it's no accident that the word of wisdom is listed first in the gifts of the Spirit. Did you know that? The word of wisdom is listed first when in your Bible in Corinthians, and it's called word of wisdom. It's listed the first, very first, as the gifts of the Spirit. Solomon, when he asked for wisdom, God said he could have what? Asked for no greater thing. And because you've asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you everything else. Wow. Lord, I'm asking. I want wisdom. You know, right now. Lord, we need godly wisdom on this body in Jesus' name. Godly wisdom, Lord, to navigate. Wisdom and discernment, to discern the signs of the times like the sons of Issachar did in the Old Testament. They discerned what was going on. They could tell good from evil. They could tell when people were coming in that didn't have a good intention. They could tell when people were filled with the Holy Spirit. They could look in the eyes of a person and be able to tell whether they had the Holy Spirit or not. That's when you know you're operating in the things of God, because he gives that light. It comes from your innermost being, and you can see whether that somebody has a light or doesn't have a light. You know, your teachers used to say, is the light on? Right? Did anybody turn the light on this classroom today? Because it's recognizable through the things we say and what we do. Okay. So it's no accident that it's listed first. 1 Corinthians, I'll give it to you, 12, verses 7 and 8. But to each one is given the manifestation. That means you're going to express it. You're going to do it. What is it? It's a manifestation of the Spirit of God for the common good. So here it comes. He's going to list what's going to be coming out of us, or should be coming out of us. For to one is given the word of wisdom, listed first, there you go, through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. So what wisdom and knowledge goes the same, you know, kind of hand in hand. You know, knowledge we get and then we apply it through wisdom, right? So he's really saying, look, I want you to apply my word, and I'm going to then give you the knowledge that you need so that the wisdom can be applied in any given circumstance in your life. Boy, we need it today. So how do we not get wisdom? How don't you get wisdom? Thank you. We don't ask. We don't ask. God made it easy. We complicate the word of God. You don't want wisdom? Don't ask. If you want wisdom, ask. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. You know, I almost feel like I'm in first grade. I mean, this is kind of the ABCs of really asking God for anything, right? Ask and it'll be given to you. If we're walking with God, our Father in heaven, what father doesn't want to give his obedient children those kinds of blessings? Whether it be your health, or whether it be prosperity, or whether it be a bullfrog, or whatever. You know, you can ask for anything, he says. Anything. And it will be given. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek. You got to seek, right? And you will find. Now, when he says seek, we seek what? We seek first, Eric. We seek first the kingdom of God. So where are you looking? I want a pink Cadillac, and I want $1,050,000, and I want this and that and that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you're asking, you better be seeking God's personality, his wisdom, your nature, your character of who you are, to know what you're asking for. If it's for personal motivations and bad motivation stuff, God knows your heart if you're asking with the wrong motivation. But if you're asking with the right motivation, there's anything is for you. Because you're in God's perfect will. You're in his image. You're sons and daughters. We really are. We're spirits. These bodies are going back to the dust when we're done here, guys. You're a spirit first. So ask. Seek. Seek in the right places, asking God in those and from the Word of God, right? When he says you can have something, Teresa said it, I got to get it. Some things are a little bit harder to get because the devil's fighting a little harder to keep it from you. We're in a war too. Don't forget that. So when you're asking for things that are a lot greater in your life, there's going to be a lot greater warfare because the devil don't want to see you blessed. He doesn't want to see you have the victory. He doesn't want to see you being able to witness better and have more word in you or be prosperous or be healthy. Everything, that's what he's trying to take away from you. So you got to know and understand that God wants the opposite for you. He wants you in health and prosperity and all of these other things that he intends for anybody who has children. You have children. No, I don't want my children to be prosperous. No, I don't want them to prosper. No, I don't want them to have health. No, I don't want them to seek wisdom. I want them to be dumb as a rock. Yeah, I should get it. I mean, that's common sense. Ask, it's given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and it'll be open to you. Well, you know, you can't just go up there and just expect that it's just going to be dropped on your lap. You got to knock. And I mean, knock hard. Some people are hard of hearing. God isn't. But we need to knock hard to let them know that we're serious about this. Verse 8, for everybody who asks, receives. I mean, I don't know how much more basic that can get. And he who seeks, finds. So in other words, if you're asking with the right motivation, you're going to receive. If you're seeking, right, if you're going to the kingdom of God, and you're going into the kingdom of God, and seeking those things in the kingdom of God, and walking in a being, you're going to find. And to him who knocks, God's just going to open the door and just shower you with whatever it is that, you know, is going to bless the kingdom of God. Look, a lot of times it's not for, you know, just you personally. Most things that we're to be other-oriented. It's so that you can now in turn bless others. Just as God has blessed you, we're to bless others. That's why giving is such a great one. There's more about giving in the Bible than any other subject, believe it or not. Because God knows when you part with the things that you have, and I'm not just talking about your wallet. I don't even keep a wallet in my back pocket. I don't even keep a wallet. So anyway, it's not just your money. It's your time. It's your talents. It's everything that you are, because everything you have encompassed with everything that you are is already God's. He brought you into the world, like a lot of dads will say in the natural today, I can take you out. When he wants you, he'll take you. But in the meantime, he wants you about the Father's business. Pretty simple. We're not only to ask, but we're to seek and knock. So again, I'm just going to give you the definitions that you can find in your Bible. Seeking means aggressively looking for opportunities. Aggressively, and now in context with what we're studying, it's aggressively looking for opportunities in evangelism. How aggressive are you at wanting to see people saved, and are you taking steps to go out and to see them get saved through your witness? I'm just being honest. That's seeking. That's part of what God wants us to do. Seek out the lost. Testify to what I've given you so what's on you can get in them. So you better make sure what's on you is the right stuff. That's seeking. Look for open doors and do not let fear keep you from walking through them. The worst thing that can happen is they say, buzz off. So what? You know, that's the worst thing that can happen. You get rejected by the ungodly. Well, they're not even in your family. Who cares? You know, if you never see them again, and you won't, because if they stay and they don't get saved, they're going to an opposite place of where you're going. Right? I mean, how bad can it get? Don't go in fear. Don't have any fear, okay? Look for the open doors. The next step is to knock. Knocking is trying to share the gospel or pray a prayer of commitment with someone. When you start knocking, that's the time where you're trying to, now you're praying the prayer. You seek and you find someone, you're ready to witness, now you knock. Now you bring God's word and you're saying that, you know, in Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. What he did for me, he can do for you. The Holy Spirit will come live in you and you won't be the same. All your value, everything is going to change. So knocking is trying to share the gospel or pray that prayer of commitment with someone. And I'm saying this in context. Understand that I'm taking this scripture and I'm applying with wisdom this scripture to evangelism. So that you don't think I'm taking this out of context. I am kind of, but I'm putting the principle into evangelism of, again, seeking and knocking and asking. Okay? So be sensitive to God's leading. How will you know for sure that it's God's wisdom? that's leading you as opposed to other voices? Well, this book right here, the Bible, provides a clear way to distinguish God's voice, true wisdom, from other voices, which is false wisdom. Three verses in the book of James tells us about some of the characteristics of false wisdom. So, in understanding what true wisdom is, we kind of have to have a little knowledge of what false wisdom is. So let's go to James 3 and verse 14 to 16. But if you have bitter jealousy, note that. If you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant as so lie against the truth. See, wisdom is truth. And when you go against the truth, you're going to see a whole bunch of what we just talked about. He says, this wisdom is not that which comes from down from above, but it's earthly, natural, and demonic. So go back one, Brett, to go to James 3:14. Jealousy, selfish ambition, arrogance. Do you really think you're going to reach anybody with selfish ambition, jealousy, and arrogance? So if somebody's trying to preach the Bible to you, in a very prideful, arrogant way, right? Or maybe they're just selfishly doing it for their own motivation so they can get your tithes, alms, and offerings. Or maybe they're jealous of another ministry so they want to preach the word better than the guy that's doing it down the street. Think about that. That's not godly wisdom. You're not getting godly wisdom. You're getting a heart full of arrogance and pride and selfish ambition and, you know, nobody's going to receive that kind of a word, especially the world. Let's go to 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's what? Disorder and every evil thing. So don't expect that there'll be a witness in that in evangelism if you carry those things. So if bitter jealousy and selfish ambition is your motive, don't witness. Don't witness. Again, he says it's earthly, natural, and demonic. But James goes on now and describes the wisdom that comes from God. I'm not going to leave you there. Now let's see what kind of wisdom we do need to go out into the world with. Verse 17 and 18. When it's coming from God above, it's first what? Pure, then peaceable. What's this sound like? Fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? Gentle. It's reasonable. It's full of mercy. It bears good fruit. It's unwavering. God's word doesn't change. And it's without hypocrisy. You're not saying one thing and doing another. That would be hypocritical. And people hate hypocrites. Yeah, you're preaching it, brother. But man, you are not living it. That's hypocrisy. The Pharisees and the Sadducees knew the word of God. But were they living it? Oh my gosh, they were so arrogant and full of pride and jealousy and all those things we just read, right? They had false wisdom. Even though it was the word of God, it was not applied correctly. Remember, wisdom is the application of knowledge. They had knowledge, but they didn't have wisdom because they were in bitter jealousy and selfish ambition and arrogant. Think about it. Think of the Pharisees and Sadducees. That's what Jesus accused them of. Therefore, their words had no meaning and effect on a person's life, but the words of Jesus, which are peaceable, and the things that make peace and the fruit of righteousness, that's what leads people to Christ. That's why they were flocking to him, because there was only life found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in stone tablets anymore. The seed whose fruit is righteousness. When you're planting seeds in people and you are promoting right behavior, righteousness, things that are right, you do it in love, in peace, by those who make peace. You're making peace, so when you're delivering peace, people are going to receive it. But if you come in arrogance and selfish ambition, it may be truth, but people aren't going to want to hear the truth if you bring it to them harshly. I've met people like that. Let's go witness. We're going down witnessing. And by God, I'm going to tell or they're going to hell. What's more likely? Is that person going to receive that person or the person who comes and says, let me tell you what God's done in my life. And maybe you'll want to see some of this because you know what? There is a blessing on the other side of your decision. I mean, everybody has a different way of doing it, but I'm telling you, there are certain ways he just tells us not to do it with. And then the certain ways, that, and I would say, hey, just bear fruit of the Spirit. and you'll be okay. Again, these verses are your filter to know if it's God that's speaking. So when you come up to people, or people are witnessing, or you're in a church, or you hear a pastor preach, or anybody for that matter, these verses that we just read, you just go over them. That'll be your filter to know whether that person is someone you want to sit under or not. Okay? James says, purity is first. Okay? So what do we have to do? The first step in hearing from God is purifying your heart. Check your heart motives. So if you're taking notes today, check your heart. If you're ready to deliver a message, if you're ready to go witnessing, if you're just ready to meet anybody who's looking at you and you want to represent Christianity well, always just do a quick check. Where's my heart? Because if I just came out of a bad meeting and I'm cussing and moving and stuff, and I'm Susie, you know what? I just came out of this meeting. Check your heart before you move into any situation. And if your heart is right, no matter where you are, even in a difficult circumstance, the fruit of the Spirit can still come out of you. Jesus found himself in such hard circumstances and painful circumstances, yet he still exuded the fruit of the Spirit. You can do it. It's in you. But when the times get tough, the tough got to get going. You got to dig down and check your heart. Okay, first is purification, and that means check your heart. Without holiness, you can't determine the voice of God clearly. If you've checked your heart and you're not walking in that being set apart unto the things of God, right, these things we just talked about, then how do you expect to hear God's voice? Without holiness, you can't hear his voice clearly. It's muddied through all the deceit and deception, and you're deceiving yourself, okay? So, check your motives. God's wisdom, is, he says, is then peaceable. Peaceable. Your spirit, listen to me, should be at peace. Your spirit, when you're approaching anyone in evangelism or anybody at all to talk about God, or wherever you go to represent our Father in heaven, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you should be carrying peace with you. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives you peace, but the peace that I have, it lives in you. They can see that. No matter what's going on in your life, they could still be, peace should still be able to come from you. He says, God's wisdom is pure. So you check your heart motives, and then it says, check your peace. Are you going in with peace? Are you going in with God's peace? Philippians 4, we all know it, verses 6 and 7. Your spirit should be at peace. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. So I'm going to read it to you from my Bible. And most of you know it by heart. And so it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests, remember asking, be made known to God. And when we do that, the peace of God, which surpasses anything you can understand, all your comprehension, shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Okay? So, remember that peace is, again, Holy Spirit is peace. So, when you're checking your heart, right, and you're exhibiting the holiness that God has in you, the peace, people are going to be so receptive to you that you're going to be like a bug light. And yes, you will attract all the bugs. The ones that don't have Christ in their heart, right? And hopefully, you know, you're not a bug zapper. We don't want to be a bug zapper. That's when you go into the other stuff. You know, you want to attract them, and then you want to keep them. You don't keep them as pets either, but you convert them. Okay, you convert them. Don't make a move without the peace of God, okay? It says God's wisdom is then what? Gentle. I'm just going through the scripture with you. God's wisdom is also gentle. So listen for the what? Still small voice, right? The gentle leading of God. Well, how do I sense that, Pastor? How about that inner voice? That urge? People call it an unction. In a crowded room where it's really noisy, it's really tough. You kind of get into a quiet place where you can, what? Be still. Know that I'm God. That means that you're going to start knowing who God is and what he has in you and what you're to be and how where you're to go and should I go left or should I go right and how I'm going to be still and hear, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go? Because the first thing we do is, all right, where do I go? I got to ask the pastor. I got to ask my friend. I got to call up God, what do you want me to do? Let me get to a spot where I can hear you because I got 20 other voices speaking to me, right? Don't be so busy you can't hear God's voice. Quiet yourself. That inner voice that you have comes from the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're going to receive an exceptionally clear thought. That thought was so clear, it had to be God. That picture that went right in front of my face that I just saw of that person that has this on their side, I got to let them know that God just showed me that there's somebody out there that has this tumor on the side of the, right? You'll know it's God when it's clear and it's a clear thought or when a picture comes. It's when those noises in your mind get quieted and a thought comes as a distinct impression or a flash of knowledge. I'm going to say that again. Noises in your mind, when they get quiet, when you get yourself to that place where you're really tuned in with God, you're going to get a distinct impression. Could be a voice. God speaks to some people, but mostly, I think it's a distinct impression. Or a flash of knowledge, a flashed picture, a clear impression. Well, you're not getting that just for you. Sometimes he'll say, and that's for you. But it's for the body, and you got to share it because there's ministry in that, okay? It could be that you get a mental picture, okay? Maybe, and it may not come like a flash. It could be a mental picture, a vision, or even a dream. It could be a dream or a vision of seeing one person in a crowd. That's when you see those guys that are up there and they go and they zoom in and I start looking at you. But then I go right over here and I look and I see and then I'm looking at you and I'm looking and I chuck. Boom, that picture comes to your mind. God will give that to you. God's got a word for you. You're a deacon through and through. You have a servant's heart. You're other oriented. You've taken your family into a good place. Stay at that high place. You never know what God's going to say to you. That's what he told me to say to you. Because I was sitting there looking at all you guys. I'm like, okay, who do you want me to pick out? That's how, I'm trying to give you an example. That's how God works. But you just got to be in tune. Look for it. Remember, we go back to ask and then it's seek. God, what do you want me to do now? Do you want me to continue to preach or is there somebody that needs ministry right now? Pete? Peace. That word's for you. Peace. Don't sweat it. God's got it. Peace. Peace. It's just peace. You can receive it or you don't. Your job, though, as a minister, and we're all ministers, is to be sensitive, hear the voice, and then when you see that vision, dream, inner thought, clear picture, whatever it is, you got to. Hence why I give you guys the microphone. And the more you're in tune with God, the more we're going to see people up here with a word and a dream and a vision and an exhortation. Do you get it? That's the church. It's not coming in here and singing songs, doing a benediction, and you're out. The church is operating. The church is live. It's an organism. It's not an organization. It's not a building. It's the gathering of the saints to lift and equip and encourage one another. Well, it's still called today. Because we don't even know if we're going to be back here next Sunday. The Lord could come back. You don't know. Got a few minutes left? Okay, good. So, dreams, visions, pictures, knowledge, impressions, these are all ways the Holy Spirit will work with you, but you got to be in tune. You got to seek, okay? And maybe you'll not notice that unbelievers are being drawn to you or you to them. Maybe you will notice. When you begin to do these things, you're going to notice that people are just going to migrate towards you. They're going to see things that attract them to you. Remember we talked about the bug light. Well, if you're a light, things get drawn to the light. Not just bugs. People. If you're in a very, very dark place and you're looking and you're squandering around, what do you look for? The light. Well, spiritually speaking, guys, you are the light. So be aware that people will be attracted to you. If you're passing by and you catch the eyes of someone on the street or something like that, Don't think it's just a casual thing if they keep looking a little bit. Hey, by the way, you know what? I'm glad you were looking my way. I got something to share with you. You got to start looking for God moments. And don't think it's just happenstance. Sometimes people connect in an audience, on a street, in a grocery store, at the gas station, and there's a connection. And you know, maybe you just need to go over and just say, you know what? God just told me to come over here and let you know he loves you. Now, why can you say that? You didn't hear that voice. Because it's in his word. We're supposed to love everybody. Why? Because God loves everybody. So you're telling him the truth. Did you know that God loves you? You're not lying. God does love him. I mean, he lets people send themselves to hell. He still loves them, though. He doesn't want you to go. He didn't prepare hell for people. He prepared hell for demons and the devil. He prepared heaven for his children, and he wants everybody to be saved, but not everybody is saved. So if you hear that doctrine, that everybody's going, you're in the wrong place. Because if everybody was just going, we wouldn't need Jesus to have come. He would have just said, bring everybody on up, demons and all. Well, wait a minute. Tell that demon to hop off that person. He's not allowed in here. Get him off that person first. No, it doesn't work that way. God's not doing that from above. He's got his church down here to help do that. We're in the deliverance ministry. We're in the healing ministry. We're in the preaching ministry. Jesus did it. He said, now you do it. Mm-hmm. Yes, people will be drawn to you. Or maybe your eyes will meet up, like I told you, with someone, and you'll sense that the Spirit of God wants you to talk with them. So do it. Just do it. The key is training yourself to look at people. I was told a couple weeks ago, keep my eyes open. See, for me, when I close my eyes, I kind of get more in tune with God. Because when I look at you, I get distracted real easy. No, I'm just kidding. But I do need to look at you so that I can hear from God and do that. But there are times when we really do need to close our eyes. And that's when filthy language, or it's not language, but, you know, pictures that we shouldn't be looking at, right? That's when we need to close our eyes. But otherwise, you know, we need to keep them open. I remember Pastor Don, my spiritual father, used to say all the time, why does everybody close their eyes when they pray? You know, if we're praying, we can pray one to another and we can pray to God. You can keep your eyes open, it's okay. Unless you're distracted, of course, and then, you know, close your eyes. But keep your eyes open. And like I said, if you keep your eyes open, you'll find out that God has more opportunities for you to minister, okay? So train yourself to do that. God's wisdom, says James, is also willing to yield. Ooh, boy. And hit one there. That means willing to witness to whomever, whenever, however, and wherever. Don't you get selective. If he tells you to go over here, oh, I don't want to go there. I've never been in that neighborhood before. I'm not going now. I wouldn't either if it was dangerous. However, if God's telling you to go, he's going to protect you. Make sure it's not a false witness, but God's witness. That's discernment. That's called discernment. The whole point here is just yield to wherever, whenever, whenever, however, and wherever God wants you to go. Don't say, no, I don't want to do that. That's not my personality. No, I don't want to do that. It's not the right time. I got lunch at 12 o'clock with so-and-so. I'm fellowshipping God. That's a good thing. Don't you ever tell God no to something he wants you to do because you got something that's better to do. He'll decide what's the best of the better. Makes any sense. Yield to the prompting of the Spirit. Be willing to be interrupted, as we already talked. God's wisdom is also full of mercy, it says. So do not be judgmental. Any amens there? Yeah, I wrote it right. Do not be judgmental. I think that's one of the biggest stumbling blocks for Christians. We have a tendency to be critical. We have a tendency to compare to one another instead of to Jesus. You want to compare yourself to anyone? Compare yourself to Jesus. And when you find out everything that's not exactly the same as Jesus, you'll have enough to work on. You won't need to judge anybody. As Christians, we're not to judge the world. That we leave that up to God. But as the church, God does says for us to judge one another. Yeah, that's true. But do it with a loving, caring, iron-sharpening iron, I care about you, I love you, I want to see you grow kind of heart. Don't do it just by pointing out the person's faults and saying, you better change or God's going to spank you. You know, sometimes more words are better. Sometimes they're not. Because they keep you here past lunch and then you get mad. But I guarantee you will be out before 12 today. And you're going, he's got 7 minutes. Ain't no way he's going to make it. Watch me. Sometimes an impulse of compassion can come over you. God's wisdom is full of good fruits, folks. Seek it. Last scripture, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You all know it, and I've already said it three times. So the fruit of the Spirit, what lives in you and needs to come out more than the other junk. The junk, other junk needs to get out. This needs to stay in but be let out. Does that make sense? It needs to stay here but let out. The other one needs to get out, the devil's fruit. But this one you want to stay. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control as well, right? Gentleness, self-control. Against these kinds of things, there's no law. That means that you are free to exhibit this 24/7, 7 days a week, all of your life, because it's who you are. Summed up in one word, love. Love. God's love motivates and guides us to talk to people. God's wisdom is also without partiality. Don't you dare keep God's love and that evangelistic outreach to a certain sect of people because it's your people or you don't want to get your hands dirty. It's without partiality. God's love is open to everyone for you to do whatever God wants you to do. His wisdom is also without hypocrisy. Do not suddenly take on a whole different personality. Be real. People love genuineness. Children and youth especially can see right through you. Acknowledge your mistakes. Did you hear me? Don't be afraid to say, I was wrong. I had to do that with Pete yesterday. I gave him wrong counsel. My son gave him good counsel. I had to go back to the Word to check myself on the Word. And I got passionate because I got involved with your passion and your love for you, right? And I just sometimes we can get so absorbed in having the compassion and love for people that we sometimes bypass the Word of God and what the truth is in the matter. And when you make that mistake, you better be humble enough to admit it. Don't think you got it all together, because you don't. Jesus had it all together. We don't. You got to be transparent. You got to be open. You got to be honest. And admit that you're teachable. Gosh, if you ever think you've arrived, we're in trouble. Acknowledge your mistakes. And it's assuring to unbelievers that Christians can also make mistakes. Unbelievers get reassured when Christians make mistakes. And lastly, says James, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. So as we follow the Spirit of God and His leading, I guarantee you, you'll have a deep sense of fulfillment. A deep sense of fulfillment. This is an outcome of doing what is right. Folks, following the wisdom from Holy Spirit is an awesome and effective way to witness to unbelievers. Amen?